Excuse me. Hello? 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 Can you hear me? Hello? How many of you have ever done something like that? You answer the phone and someone is trying to call you. You can't pick them up. How many of you got frustrated? How many of you have got frustrated when that happens? Yeah, we get frustrated. I do. Especially when you really need to make the call and it's not happening. The service is very poor. Or you're talking to someone in the middle of a conversation and you get cut off. And you try to call back and you can't get through. Maybe you're in an area of service and it's looks, you thought you had good service. Maybe you're driving, and not supposed to be driving while you're talking, but maybe you enter a low spot. There was a place back in America where we used to live, and you could be driving along, but if you would hit one spot, you could lose connection. So maybe we've all been in those situations. Maybe you're at a place or you need to make a call, and you look at your phone, and you see there's absolutely no service at all. And so you can't make the call. The tower, now I don't know, what do they have over here in Ireland that produces a signal? Is it towers? Okay, it's towers. I don't see many of them, so I wasn't sure what produces the signal. So there's a tower. That's what gives the signal. So there's no tower even close by. And so there's no signal. Worse yet is when your phone, there's signal there, but your phone is just dead. There's no life there. The phone is the battery's no longer charged. You can be within sight of the tower with a phone like that. You climb that tower and go all the way to the very top and hug the tower and do whatever you want, but your phone is dead, right? It's not going to work. You're not going to make the call. For me, if I leave to go on a trip and I drive away from the house and I forget my phone, I will turn back. I mean, I can probably be a good little ways. Now I'm going to turn back to get my phone. Especially if we're gone for a long time. If it's just for an evening or so, it's okay. But if we're going for a trip, a couple days, our phones are pretty important, so we take them with us. The focus of this message is not about mobile phones, what brand to get, a smartphone or a Tesco phone or whatever it is. The focus of the message is something different. Oh, I put something together here. The title of the message is, I wrote on the top of the board here, That title came from something a number of years ago that I had seen, and that is, it was a mobile company, and they were trying to sell their services, and that was what was on the board. It said, "More bars, fewer dropped calls." Now, on your phones, you have bars that look probably something like that. It might vary. But I think you understand what I've drawn there. And so we look at those bars, and when we have full bars, the bars are big and tall and many, we know we have good connection, right? But as the bars as they slowly get less, or they get shorter, or there's just nothing, then we know that we're at a iffy place. I mentioned about the battery. I think each one of our phones has a battery in there that would look something like this, maybe somewhere in your phone. And then as your phone battery goes down, the bars on the phone go down. So you can look at that and see where you're at. But this communication, this What I'm after here is prayer, is our communication to God. Prayer is the Christian's vital breath. A lack of prayer brings suffocation. And I hesitate even in sharing a message like this because of maybe the suffocation that I have experienced in my own life, because of a lack of prayer in my own life. And so I humbly share this message, and my prayer is that it will become more of a vital thing for me. With prayer being the breath of the Christian, it's obvious that Satan wants to destroy us through this. He wants to bring about suffocation because of the importance of it for the Christian. And I believe it's probably one of the most painless and quiet ways for Satan to steal our spiritual lives is a lack of prayer. We gradually lose it, and we really maybe don't quite understand what's happening. Maybe at some times we feel more secure with this in our pocket than we do with prayer. Think about that. Do we realize the power in prayer? What prompted me to this message, well, it was the Holy Spirit. But recently I kind of went through the story of George Mueller, and I just seen George Mueller as a man of prayer in such a mighty way. We all know his story and how he went to God in prayer, how his mission, his orphanage, was built on prayer. I mean, he was down to nothing, and he would pray over and over and over again. He would pray, and God would answer his prayer. I asked the question since that, where are the Muellers of today? Do we have Muellers today out there? What would happen if Christians really prayed? What would happen if I would really pray? James 5:16 says, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Do we understand what that verse is saying? The first part of this message that I want to share today on prayer, maybe looking at more negative side, it's going to look it's going to look at some of the hindrances that cause us not to pray or to have effectual prayers. So we want to look at some of the negative things that come into our lives that cause us to lose out in prayer. Hopefully we'll have enough time that I can move into more of a positive side of prayer. But I want to follow up then with another message when the Lord gives time for that. And that message then I would want to entitle something like Prayer, the Christian's Power Plant, or the Christian's Energy Plant. And to somehow to realize more what prayer is and what it can do for us, and are we tapped into that in a right way? Are we getting what we could be getting through prayer? So let's just focus now on a number of things that cause the bars of our prayer life to slowly become less and less. And when that happens, then our signal between our Father in heaven becomes less and less, and our communication becomes less frequent because of that. There's a number of them that I have listed here, and we'll go down through these as quickly as we can. Factors that cause us to lose out. Factors that cause the bars of our life to become less and less. Number one, do I have a certain time set aside each day for prayer? And when I ask these questions, you take them personally. Do we have a certain time set aside each day for prayer in a more formal way? I understand we are called to pray without ceasing, and we may mention that later. But do you have a time set aside in your schedule, in your life, to stop and pray? What does that look like? And maybe next time I can do this, but I would have loved to see each one of you, and myself included, to put on a little piece of paper, no name, but on that piece of paper, you write how many minutes or hours, that's what it is, how many minutes in a day do you spend in prayer? Other than praying for, thanking God for your meals, I wonder, what that would look like. And I had to think of that. What number would I put down? So you can be thinking about that. Maybe we can do that next Sunday. Though nobody knows. You will not know. I will not know. But it would be just interesting to see. Is it 15 minutes apiece? Or is it less than that for us? I make time to do the things that I want to do. We all enjoy eating 3 times a day, right? Most of us, we set times and we find time to eat. We even find time to take tea, right, in the morning. Between meals, it's pretty important. We set time for that. How much more important is prayer? Do we set time for that? Prayer is more than just a set time with God. It needs to happen constantly. Mention that. Brother Lawrence, in a book that he wrote, said, "Midst the clatter and the banging of the pots and pans, I feel the presence of God and the sweetness of Him." The same amount of time in his work is what he was saying. He felt the presence of God just as much as he did when he would find himself on his knees praying. That's a wonderful testimony. Remember, with prayer being the breath, the Christian's vital breath, remember this, that it needs to happen more than once a day. We're looking at the time now that you spend in prayer, but it needs to be something that continually happens. It's just like breathing. Morning prayer leads to evening praise. It's a quote that I had read. Prayer needs to start our day. I believe it does. I believe prayer needs to be the beginning of our day. It's the first thing. It's the first thing on our agenda for that day. Make sure that you have enough time to pray. I would encourage every one of you. This is the way it so often happens. I want to illustrate it this way. If you go to a doctor, and I was just recently, I was to a doctor for just a little checkup. If you go to a doctor and you share with him your problem, whatever it might be, just say, for instance, you're experiencing dizziness, and you go to him and you share with him dizziness, and he asks you some questions maybe, and so you're explaining your problem. Most of us take the time then, after you've given him your problem, most of us take the time to stay, right? After we've given him our struggle, we take the time to stay because that's what we came for. We want to hear what he is going to tell us. We want to hear what he says our problem is. We want to receive the medicine or whatever it is to take away our problem. I think for me, so often, my time in prayer can be maybe too short, and I give my struggle or I give my problem to God, but then I don't have time to hear his response. What does that look like? In praying, do I feel like I need to do all the talking and then rush off? It's something that I need to grow in. I believe as we pray, we need to be willing to sit then and listen to what the great to what the great physician has to share with us as it relates to what we've given to him. We don't enjoy talking to someone that does all the talking. We like to communicate back and forth. Prayer is much more than just talking, it's listening. Hindrance number 2, I close my heart in one single area. I don't believe we can pray a fervent, effectual prayer with one area of my heart or your heart that is closed off. It may not look like sin to you. Maybe it looks something like this: a lack of surrender or rebellion or pride. Something like that can cause our prayers to go to the ceiling and down. It's the way it feels so often. Psalm 66:18, it says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Is rebellion sin? There's a scripture that says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Pride, the thing of not being fully surrendered, and on, I think are areas that we have to look at and realize, is this part of my life maybe not clean? That the Lord is not there. I have closed that part of my life off. Maybe it looks like this. The door that is in our heart, in our life, as the Lord knocks on that door, he's knocking. There's only one handle, right? And that handle is on
my side. The Lord does not force open that door. So as he's knocking on that door, and I hear his voice, and then I open that door, and I'm praying, and then as the Father comes in to my life, remember, we're talking about a part of my heart that is maybe not quite there, and as he comes in, and the door goes shut, and we shut the door, and he can't come in all the way, because his hands are pinched in the door, because there's a certain part of my life that is there that I don't want him in, and that can be whatever it is for you or I.
Christ wants to come in and enter fully into my life in our prayer time. Our prayers will be meaningless until the Lord has full access of my heart. Unconfessed sin will completely destroy the bars of your communication with God. It's that important. Number three, I don't know how many of you have struggled with this in your prayer time, but what about a wandering mind in the middle of prayer, and your mind starts wandering, and all at once you're fishing, all at once you're working, all at once you're baking your food or all, whatever it is. And here you're praying. How does that look? It's frustrating. And so then prayer time becomes frustrating because you're like, I'm trying to pray, I'm trying to talk to God, but this happens, and so now what? Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and mind through Jesus Christ. We need to take our roaming thoughts and center them on Jesus. And talking about roaming, if you're out of service, but yet there's a plan, and it allows you to make a call, but it puts you on like a roaming fee. It's quite expensive, right? You no longer have that plan or that connection. So it gets quite expensive when your mind just roams and you no longer now can focus on the Lord. It's very important that we put our focus on the Lord. So as you are praying, I drew these circles here. As you are praying and the thoughts come to you, and the thoughts, this is your life, this is your prayer time, the center here, the very center of that wheel is the axle. And picture that as being the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the center, right? He is the axle. I wrote something down here. Christ is the axle on which I turn. Christ is the axle on which I turn. So how does the wheel look? So think of you praying, Christ being the axle. And now a thought comes to you, and it takes you this way, away from Christ. And that thought could be what? I mentioned, it could be, just say work. Give me something else that could take your mind away. What are some other things that could take your mind away?
You forgot something.
So you're thinking of trying to remember. I'll just put down forgot. Someone else had shared something.
Finance.
Okay, finances. I had to put down here just bills. You wonder how am I gonna, all of us are praying, you're thinking about how I'm gonna pay the next bill. Hobbies, I said remember something about fishing. So maybe you wanna something to do with your hobbies. And the list can go on, and there are things then that take our mind away. But if you can take those, would encourage you that as they come to your mind, take that and take it to Jesus in prayer. And take them like this, bring them into the center, and now you have a wheel that actually can operate. You want to take a car and a spin with a wheel like that, you're not going to go very far. But now you can take your, when those thoughts come, take them and pray about them. Pray about whatever it is that you're struggling with. Give it to God and see what happens. Pray out loud. That helps, I think, too, to keep your minds more on the Lord Jesus. That may not can happen all the time, but where it can and when, you can do that. Be structured, possibly keeping a journal or a prayer list. Keeping your prayer more formal, not just casual.
Don't pray on the recliner with your feet kicked up. I wouldn't recommend that, doing that too often. But get on your knees or in a position that you feel that you're entering the presence of God. Hindrance number four, doubt or unbelief. James 16:8. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they, what? Believed not. So unbelief is sin. Unbelief is sin. Is doubt a part of my life when it comes to prayer? How much doubt do I have? James 1:6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wind of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So without faith, and the thing of doubting, it's like a wave of the sea. It just goes and comes, and there's nothing there that's secure. It says that if we lack that, we shall receive nothing of the Lord. It's that important. 1 Timothy 2:8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Doubting should not be a part at all of our prayer. Look at what Romans talks about as it relates to Abraham. It says, Romans 4:20 to 21. He staggered not. In other words, he was steady. He staggered not at the promises through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. That is what we need. We need to not stagger, but to be solid and to know where we are going. How persuaded are you when you pray? How persuaded am I when I pray that God will hear and he will answer in his own time and in his own way? Doubt sees the obstacles, faith sees the way. Doubt sees the obstacles, the rocks, the whatever it is, but faith sees the way around it and on down the road. A doubting person always looks through the wrong end of a telescope. Look at it in that way. Hindrance number five is pride. I put down pride. What is the letter in the middle of the word pride? Someone say it. I. That's I. That's you. That's me. It's self. That's what it is. Pride prevents prayer for prayer is a humbling experience. I read a quote that I thought sounded quite unique. It says, swallow your pride. It contains no calories. So we have to do that. We have to get rid of pride in our life. What does pride look like? What does self look like? So often, that comes about because of a critical attitude that I have towards someone. If you have a critical nature, allow it to dissect yourself and never your neighbor. Don't go and talk about someone else. Criticizing spirit destroys holiness of life, and then that turns into my prayer life. Criticizing spirit destroys holiness of life because of its nature, and we so quickly become victims to that. It's very important that I do not become selfish in my thoughts. Jesus suffered contradiction of sinners over and over again. Yet, did he go talk to everybody about them and talk against them? No, he didn't. He never complained or published abroad the news of the bad things that happened to him. Self in a criticizing spirit, I believe, must be dethroned before Christ can reign and before he can effectually hear and answer my prayer. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity does not have anything to do with pride or selfishness. Charity suffereth long and is kind. A loving spirit is a condition, I believe, of a believing prayer. Another little quote that stuck out to me. Hot-tempered people make frigid prayers. We don't want to have frigid prayers. We want prayers that are warm, prayers that draw our hearts to the Savior. Unforgiveness and bitterness then comes right along with this, the thing of a selfish attitude or prideful spirit. Unforgiveness and bitterness is something that we must look at. Our prayers will be hindered, and the desire to pray will even leave us. when we are filled with bitterness and unforgiveness, you understand that. 1 Peter 3:7 is talking of relationships in the home between a husband and wife, and talking about, can prayers be hindered because of issues in my life? Yes, they can. Here's what it says. And I just picked out one verse, 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to the knowledge, giving honor to your wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And so we can hinder our prayers because of bitterness, unforgiveness, disunity, whatever it may be. We must be willing to work together. Matthew 11:25. And when you stand praying, it says, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. Hindrance number 6, just too busy. I don't have a lot on this. Just not enough time. I don't have enough time in a day to pray. There's too many things going on. Hindrance number 7, laziness. We talked about laziness a little bit in Sunday school class. Are you able to get out of bed in the morning? How do your mornings look? Are you a morning person? Maybe some of you are, some of you are not. But whether you are or whether you aren't, let's look at it. How do your mornings look? Is laziness keeping you in bed? In the evening, are you too tired to pray? What do you do before you go to bed, before you retire for night? What are you involved in then? But at the end of the day, this is what we need to ask each one of ourselves. We need to ask, how much time did I spend today in prayer? At the end of the day, look at that. Hindrance number 8, an ungrateful spirit. Psalms 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. And it goes on. So there we have thanksgiving, praise, and blessing. As we enter Christ, as we enter the Lord Jesus and praying to the Father, we need to have that spirit of thanksgiving, not an ungrateful spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. The will of God, that he wants us to give thanks. Do we want to be in the will of God? It's what it says. We are called to give thanks. Not just in the things that happen to us that are good, but in everything. Even in the difficult times. Do I understand that? It's not an option. We are called to give thanks. And for me, giving thanks in prayer time is not there near like it should be. Daniel in the lion's den. Just his experience before that. He prayed 3 times a day. And this is what it says about what he prayed. It says he gave thanks. He didn't. I'm sure he came to God with things, but he gave thanks. That is what he did. He was realizing who God was, and he was glorifying him in that. Jonah in the belly of the whale. Did he give thanks when he prayed to God? He sure did. And immediately after that, the whale brought Jonah up. It says, with the voice of thanksgiving. That was what Jonah was praying in the midst of that condition. Psalm 37:4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Delight. That is praising. That is being thankful. That is, yeah, experiencing something there that I think I so often do not experience. Am I delighting in God's goodness? Look what happens if I do delight in him. It says, he will give you the desires of thine heart. And I understand we have to take that and understand what it's saying. It doesn't mean we get everything we want all the time. But he will give you a peace. He will give you a peace as you delight in him. When we can truthfully say to our Father, all that I am and have is thine, then he can say to us, all that is mine is thine. But we have to be willing to say, first, that all that I am and have is thine. And then we will receive, I think, that promise. Now, just switching gears here a little bit. Those were some of the hindrances. There's probably many more. Let's just look at briefly what prayer maybe is to kind of set the tone here for the message that I want to follow up with then later. What is prayer? It's many things. Here's just a few. Prayer, the door I open to let God in. You remember the little illustration here a little bit ago. It's the breath of the soul. It's communion with God. It's thanking God. It's confession to God. It's the means to overcome temptation. It's pouring one's heart out to God. It's the Christian's vital breath, and it's work. It's work. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To pray is to let Jesus in. A true prayer is always a result, I believe, of Jesus knocking. And we are praying and we seek his will and we let him in. He gets our attention and we say, yes, Lord, and we move. Prayer, once again, is the breath of the soul. I would like for each one of you to hold your breath on the count to three. Hold your breath until I say stop. One, two, three. Okay, you can stop. I don't want anybody passing out. What's the easiest? Is it easier for you to hold your breath or is it easier for you to breathe? Yeah, of course. That's a silly question, wasn't it? It's easier to breathe. And that's what we need to do. We need to pray. There's no need to sit there and hold our breath. And that's, I believe, is really what is happening so often. When I don't pray, it's like holding my breath. Prayer is a slender nerve that moves the hand of God. I like that picture. As I talk to him, as I communicate with him, it's the nerve that he feels, and then he works. Prayer is so simple, even the feeblest child can pray. Yet the most high and holy work that a person can do. I love hearing our youngest daughter pray. Absolutely. It's so marvelous. Very simple. But yet, it is, I believe, the most noblest thing that we can do. Two things that God wants to see in our prayers. There's more than this. But just two things I want to focus on is our helplessness and then our faith. Helplessness. Think of a newborn child that is born. And the newborn child cries and cries. Well, what does the mother do? She hears the cry, right? And she picks up the child and she comforts the child. That's natural. So I believe in the same way, as I cry out to God, in my helplessness and in my crying, he then comes and takes care of us. And so I say, but I don't feel that. I cry And where is God? Why doesn't God answer my prayers? Why didn't he show himself? But I believe if we stop and think, and if our hearts are clean, and we are in condition to pray, as you cry out to God, he will come. He is holding you. He's holding each one of us. The minute the mother picks up the child, does that child automatically stop crying? Sometimes. But a lot of times, no. The child cries and cries, but the mother is holding the child. It takes time. But then with time, the child understands that there is something happening here. And so for us, it takes time. God will answer, but we must be willing to accept the fact that he is holding you in this difficult time. It takes faith. Without faith, there is no prayer. James 1, 5 and 7. I won't take time to read that, but there it talks about asking in faith, nothing wavering. In Hebrews 11:6, here is what it says there. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Our faith is increased when we are helpless of self and totally dependent on God. That is where we need to find ourselves. Mark, here's an example of helplessness. Mark 9:24. Is talking of, let me just read it. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Here's the father of this child crying out and is asking for God to give him the faith. He believed, but yet he was struggling with it. There are three characteristics that we see here in this father. The one is his helplessness. He was crying out. We see faith. He said, I believe, but yet we see honesty coming through. And he was asking for strength to carry out this faith that he felt was there, but yet he needed some help. When have I cried literally in prayer or seen mine own helplessness? I think God wants us to get to that point. My goal in this message is to have us as a church, as brothers, as believers, to pray more for one another, to pray more for the things that we are faced with, whatever it may be, if it's work or finances or a mission project somewhere, or whatever it may be. I think if we would pray harder together, I believe God would show us things that we have no idea that he can do. We know he can do it, but yet sometimes we find ourselves doubting. And you know, and so I invest so much time myself into trying to make it work. Can our church here, as brothers and believers, can this be like the tower that sends out the signals, and then as we go out from here, places that we go out with a very strong signal, and we can be that testimony. We can pray wherever we're at. We can be that maybe sub tower for someone else to get a signal off of to continue on in life. A family that prays together stays together. It's the same for the church. I believe a church that prays together will stay together. We don't always see things eye to eye in the church. We understand that. But we must be willing to communicate and work together in a God-honoring way. God then can be glorified. The battle of Calvary was won in the garden in prayer, I believe, when Jesus prayed. And it's interesting to read that prayer. We can't because of time. He prayed, not my will, but thine be done. And that is where I believe our battle is won, is in prayer. It's in talking with each other. That helps. But I believe in prayer is where we find the battle won. There's many examples in Scripture of people that had tall, solid bars that were just solid and right. The children of Israel, we could read in Exodus of them crossing the Red Sea and all the answers to prayers that they had. And the Lord, it was just like the Lord was there, just the tower that just went with them everywhere they went. It was such a beautiful picture. But there was times then that they lost sight of that tower. Another problem is when we have low bars or no bars, people can't call us either. Neither can we call out, neither can people come close to us. There's no communicating back and forth. Daniel was a man that had a solid connection. Paul and Silas in the prison. Sometimes if we're in a building that's thick walls, we don't have good signals. But they had a connection that when they were placed in that prison, whatever that prison walls looked like, they had connection like you wouldn't believe. And they sang. That was their prayer. And what happened? They walked out. The purpose, I believe, for all of our prayers needs to be to glorify God. Not self, but to glorify God. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Pray not for personal advantages or to avoid hardships or that my will might be done, but pray that God's will might be done and that he would be glorified. Mark 9, there's two verses I want to read in Mark 9, and then we will close. I do have one short little reading. But in Mark 9, I know you haven't turned to many scriptures. I've gone through a lot of them today, but I just have them written down here. Mark 9, 28 and 29 reads like this. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, this kind came out by nothing but prayer and fasting. And fasting's another subject. Maybe we can get into that. This kind came only through prayer and fasting. And I think as we cry out to God in prayer, he will be there for us. I want to close with a little reading here that I had come across. It says, could you be one of them? The latest news reports are that an untold number of terrorist cell groups have been operating in many of our churches. They have been identified as been sleeping, been arguing, been too busy, been ungrateful, been doubting, been proud, been fighting, been complaining, been missing, and on and on. Their leader, Ben Lucifer, trained these groups to destroy the body of Christ. The plan is to come into the church disguised as Christians and to work within the church to discourage and to disrupt and to destroy. However, there has also been reports of a sixth of another group, a tiny cell group known by the name of Ben Praying. It's one of the most effective counterterrorism forces in the church. Unlike other terrorist cells, the Ben Praying team does not blend in with whoever and whatever comes along. Ben Praying does whatever is needed to uplift and encourage the body of Christ. We have noticed that the Ben Praying cell group has different characteristics than the others. They have been watching, been waiting, they've been fasting, they've been longing for their master, Jesus Christ, to return. Let's kneel for prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the avenue of prayer that we have. We thank you for the privilege that we can call to you at any time, at any place. The signals are there, and we pray, God, that we would have this connection with you, solid bars all the way across. And when we see that the bars are going down, we would be willing to reconnect, to get a little closer to that power, and that's you and your word and communion with you. I pray, God, for strength in the areas in our life where there's been hindrances that cause us to not to pray or to have the time or wandering minds, whatever it may be. I pray, God, that we would be serious enough to look at that and to make the needed changes. And I pray that you would continue to guide the church here and each brother and each sister that's here, wherever they're from, that we could go out and be that light and that testimony, that prayer warrior for those around us, wherever that may be. I pray that you would continue to draw our minds and our hearts to the avenue of prayer in a greater way. Help us to see the importance and to realize that there is power in prayer. So I thank you and bless you for all that you've done. We commit our life to you as a brotherhood. Guide us and lead us along the ways of holiness and righteousness. We pray this in your word.